Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Delightful words are always spoken that way. Well, good evening again to everyone for the TechNet. It's nice to be back. I hope the net worked well last week. I was not around for it, as you know. I was off at our son Jeremy's hockey tournament, or roller hockey tournament, NARCH, North American Roller Hockey Championships, and his team got a bronze, which is not bad, but definitely wanted that gold, but it was not to be. In any case, I want to thank whoever was involved last week in getting that to run. I think actually, I don't know who ran it. I truly don't. I haven't had a chance to catch up on all my email yet either. So, with no further ado, let's explain how the net works. This net is a conversation about amateur radio, about telecommunications, about computers, electronics, the underlying scientific principles, natural sciences that support our hobby, and also our experiences with the hobby and the service that we can render to others. It is a opportunity to talk about what we've done, what we aspire to do, things we'd like to do again, and the things we absolutely do not want to do again. So it's all good. So no further ado, we also check in a little differently this net. We do run an orderly check-in, and stations who have questions, have comments, you know, topics they want to raise, for sale, swap, or wanted items, some combination of those things, or of course none of the above are also welcome to join. You might ask, why would you bother checking in if it's a none of the above? And the answer is because we need to tailor the net to the audience, and failure to understand who the audience is because they're quietly listening, not checking in, leaves us in the dark as to who we're trying to address. So we like to try to be, shall we say, customer-friendly, user-friendly, friendly in general. So there we go. So with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha. You're going to go first tonight. Alpha stations, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted items, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Okay, I'm not seeing any alphas. How about Novembers?
N2ZZK, Bob from Bergenfield, just listening. Back to net. Good evening to everybody.
Nice to see you, Bob, at the recent Barra meeting, and great. Good to hear you. Any other Novembers? Now, before I continue, I should also point out we use a 141 PL here, 141.3. It's the PL, and of course the repeaters on 146.955. 146.955 with a minus 600 kilohertz offset. So that might be something to consider. We also have a separate Echolink check-in. That's K2 Foxtrot Juliet-Lima. K2 Foxtrot Juliet-Lima. Those stations who are on Echolink will get you last. So don't panic. We will get you. Any other Novembers? Alrighty. How about Kilos?
KC2 WDJ with a question.
KC2 WDJ. Let me write that down. Your name, sir, and where are you from? I don't recall your call sign.
Sure. Name is I'm from Orangeburg, New York.
I got the Orangeburg. The Echolink kind of flattened you. What's your name again?
Sure. The name is Walter. I'm on Bellefonte.
No problem, Walter. We got you that time, and you have a question, so we'll get to you as soon as possible. Welcome aboard, and welcome to Ham Radio, relatively speaking. I mean, well, not really. You're not really that new. But pretty good. I don't think we've spoken before. Any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, India Romeo Yankee, Mike out of Dobbs Ferry. Have a question. Good evening, gentlemen.
Evening, Mike. Gotcha. Any other kilos?
Kilo America 2, Sierra Gulf Yankee.
Yes, sir. KA2SGA. Your name and what's your intention, sir?
Good evening. It's the handle Scott. It's actually KA2SGY. I have no questions, no comments right now.
Okay, Scott, I made that correction. Pardon me. KA2SGY. All right, very good. Any other kilos? All righty, how about whiskeys?
Whiskey 2, Charlie Zulu.
Whiskey 2, Charlie Zulu, your name and your intention, sir?
Good evening, the name is Ephraim, Echo Fox, Romeo Echo Mike, Ephraim, Yonkers, New York, just listening in.
Good evening, Ephraim. I don't think we've heard before, but nice signal from Yonkers. My uncle used to be the mayor of Yonkers 1,000 years ago, back when Irish people could be mayor of Yonkers. Right, any other whiskeys?
Whiskey 2, November Papa Radio, Hector, with an item for sale. Good evening, Gordon, and good evening all.
Okay, I got Hector with a for sale item. And there was a station who doubled with you, so who was the double?
W2JEK, Don, nothing, just listening.
Good evening, Don. Nice to hear you as well. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Very good, Charlie. Welcome aboard. Nice to hear you. Any other whiskeys? Okay, the vaunted kilos, here it comes. No, we did kilos already. Wow. Before we go open to other calls, go around the list again. Anybody on Echolink?
November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu, N2VHZ, Ken in Alliance, Nebraska, just listening.
Very good, Ken. Good evening to you. N2VH said acknowledged. Anybody else on Echolink? All righty. Let's see. Anybody else on the repeater who did not check in any call sign format?
AA2WP, just listening. Willie P.
Good evening, everyone. No questions, no comments.
Okay, I got Willie P. Who is the other station?
N8MAR. David from Maywood Mobile. Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, everyone else. No questions, no comments.
Welcome aboard. Good hearing you. Anybody else? Very good. N8MARW2TTTK2BAR. Very good. Alrighty. Before we start, a couple of announcements. One is that I don't know whether it was in that last week, and I apologize if there wasn't. Maybe someone could pop in and let me know in a second. The other thing is that this net is recorded and is available for replay at amateurradio.tangovictor, www.amateurradio, all strung together, two R's, .tangovictor, and then you'll see us right on the front, on the main page there. And the historical ones, you can go back all the way, well, 8 or 9 years, whatever it is, since we started this event. And except for the first three nets are not recorded. And then, let's see, you also, there's a support group here, Comtech group on Yahoo Groups. It is a closed Yahoo group, but you are welcome to join it. Comtech group, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo, Oscar Uniform Papa, Yahoo.com, Comtech Group, or you can send me W2TangoTangoTango@AWRL.net an email, and I'll sort it out as to how to get you invited to the list if you can't figure it out on Yahoo Groups. We'd love to have you there, and we have files there and other miscellaneous resources, some ongoing dialogue. So with no further ado, let's start with Hector's for sale item. That's always exciting. W2NPR, K2BAR.
Hey, K2BAR at W2NPR. Good evening again, everybody. And thank you, Gordon. Hope everybody's enjoying this nice weather. I certainly am. Certainly not as oppressive as the weekend. Now, let's hope this weekend is not anywhere near as oppressive as the last weekend. In any case, the item I have for sale this time round is a manual brake winch. It is a Fulton K1550 manual brake winch. It's virtually brand new. I've only used it twice. It's been stored indoors, and I no longer have a need for it. Reason being, I upgraded the winch on my tilt-over fixture for my tower to a different model winch, and I no longer need this one. So if you have a crank-up tower or a tilt-over fixture that uses a Fulton K1550 winch, I've got one, and it's local. $100 will take it, and it's yours. I've only used it twice, and again, it's only been stored. This winch is also used on boat trailers. For those who don't have electronic winches on your boat trailers, and you still have a manual winch, usually you find one on a trailer for a jet ski. This is the perfect replacement. My email is good on QRZ, and that's the scoop. Thank you, Gordon, and we'll be here listening. K2BAR, W2NPR.
Well, very good, Hector. Well, for once, I'm not going to sit there and say, pick me, pick me. I have a 1,500-pound winch sitting in a brand new in a box that I have yet to install. It is not a brake winch. And a brake winch is kind of interesting because basically it latches, it has a brake, a real positive brake. So when not energized, you're not, you know, straining the motor and the gear train. It latches when it's not in drive mode, so that's kind of cool. I don't think my 1,500-pound Harbor Freight winch is quite up to that standard, so that's a very good price for a brake winch. It's not a bad price for a 1,500-pound winch anyway, but it's all good. I'm assuming it's a 1,500-pound winch, but it sounds great. Really nice, Hector. Anybody interested in Hector's winch, please call K2BAR, or call Hector for that matter. All right. Well, very good. Any further comments on it, Mr. Hector?
Negative. It's practically ready for its new home. It's just sitting on the shelf. And yeah, it's a 1,500-pound winch. I replaced it with a K2550, slightly larger drum, and there's two gears. The turns ratio is more, but that's okay. It just operates a lot nicer. So that's the scoop. Thank you, and we'll be here. We'll be here listening. K2BAR, W2NPR.
Okay, very good. And it sounds lovely. It really does. And yeah, I can understand why you upgraded that. For my purposes, I could have dealt with probably a 500 or a 1,000-pound winch, but I got a 1,500 because that's what was on sale at Harbor Freight when I went to get it. But ultimately, I'm thinking about using it as a mechanism for tilting over a tower on my fantastic magical mystery tour trailer, which I'll tell you about further on, but let's get to other people's comments and questions first. I do have a solar energy trailer and some interesting things about it that I want to relay to everybody. So actually, I have some commentaries today, too. So no further ado, let's go to Walter, KC2WDJ, K2BAR. Your question, sir.
Sure, yeah. My question was regarding vertical antennas. Portable. I understand a lot of these verticals fire ground radials. Stuff on the concept of how they work, why you would net trip on these. Couple of two things, actually. One would be mud, do the painting radials, and if not, you know, what? I think I kind of found an answer online. I didn't really understand it, but it was talking about capacitance. So if I had like a bottle, semi-salty water, kind of made a spiral outwards, ground rod, would that kind of substitute fires? For ground radials for KC2.
Okay, so the ground will provide a you know, lightning protection. It'll provide some conductivity. It will not provide a resonant counterpoise, and that therein lies the problem. I mean, it's useful and it's helpful, but it won't really do what you're looking to do. So, and also pounding ground rods in public parks can get you in a world of doo-doo. In some cases, so unless, especially if you don't have a permit for it and things like that, people get all excited over anything more than about 20 inches deep because you might puncture something that's underneath the beautiful manicured, landscaped facilities of a park. What a lot of guys are using, and you know, your mileage may vary, is either an end-fed half-wave through a 9-to-1 Balun. That's really popular these days, especially on the summits on the air guys and people who like to go portable because you just throw one wire up in the air and you're done. So a half wave is with a 9-to-1 Balun seems to be very popular. Another one is an OCF dipole set for the longest band of your choice, but you know, my experience is the ones for 40 meters and above are more sensible. 20 meters above is even better if the higher bands are open. But, you know, they work pretty well. But those are the two choices I have in mind based on what I've been either experiencing or watching others do for various portable operations. Anybody else want to chime in here, please call K2B Air. Okay. Mr. Don.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. It parks with the radials. Like over in the field day site, they have a sprinkler system in the field there. You don't want to put any kind of a rod in that into that. One thing I've seen in one of my antenna books is a ground plane that is made up of a vertical wire that's a quarter wave long, and isn't it? Because at the bottom there's an insulator, there's a coax. You have two radial wires. Also, bending the wire itself, the vertical wire, up in a tree, up the way, plus about 6 pounds. Then you're going to have to pull the radials out to other trees that are nearby, so you've got them out straight, too. So apply enough so nobody's going to hang themselves. Then, of course, you have just the coax coming down. Now, I've seen that. That's one possibility. The antenna I used was a end-fed halfway, but it had a radio wire, but it was the orange extension cord, about 30 feet, that worked pretty well. The idea is if you try with some of these things, you can spend all afternoon putting up the antenna. So let's go out to something that is retentive. Back to that, W2JK.
That's good. Those are good tips. Anybody else? Hey, Walter, it's your ball.
Hey, I participate in SONA. I have an end-fed half-wave for 40 fire electronics. It works great. But even that, I find to be lost one end in the tree, eight, or bring a long cap stick on a tripod up right there and throw. Thanks for the advice. I got it. Thank you very much. Back at KC2W.
Well, let me tweak you a little bit. So if you wanted to do an end-fed, a compact end-fed on 40 meters, let's say. Now let's make it 20 meters. On 20 meters. You would buy a 40-meter ham stick, tune it which will be a half wave on 20 meters through the 9-to-1 Balun, and you're good to go.
So what you're saying is I can essentially treat it as an NSAID?
Yes, sir, you could. Why not?
I don't know. That's why I come to these nets to learn stuff.
I mean, the goal is to take a half wave at 20 meters. Well, half wave at 20 meters is a 40-meter quarter wave, so, you know, your mileage may vary, but get it there. And, you know, obviously you have to pay attention to how you do it, but if you had it mounted on a standard 3H24 mount with a SO239 at the bottom, you could come out of the bottom of the Balun, or the top of the Balun, I should say, to a jumper lead, a short jumper lead, that had banana plug on it that would just plug into the center conductor of the SO239. Problem solved.
Well, looks like I'm going to have to try that. Thank you.
Hey, I'm just thinking about it. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it up to now, but, you know, it's like, okay, you need a half-wave thingy, so, yeah, you want to do 40 meters, take one that's on 80 meters. I mean, these are greatly compressed. The other thing you could do, if you wanted to split the difference, is you could take a hamstick for the band in question, and instead of the rod, stick in a stinger that's a quarter wave piece of wire. So that would be a lot shorter, you know. I mean, you could play that game too.
Okay. As far as those valence, you said it's a 4-to-1 to match the hamstick?
The NFED antennas use a 9-to-1, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
So, for instance, if you have a 40-meter hamstick, take the stinger out, cut a wire that's probably 5 feet too long, and slowly back it out, with that wire, you know, string it up in a tree and end-fed the thing through the Balun at the base, and treat it as a loaded half wave, you know, so it'll only be, let's say, 30 by 40 feet long, and away you go. For that matter, depending on what you want to do, you could actually make it, you could add a length of whatever you want, on the far side, and make your jumper between your Balun and the base of your hamstick just another piece of wire. So you could take your banana jumper, as it were, impale it into the bottom of the SO239. If you come down with, let's say you had it 20 feet in the air on a push-up pole, you'd just have 20 feet of wire going to your Balun. Your Balun would be located right in front of you at your belly. And then 20 plus, maybe 15, 20 feet on the other side of the hamstick, instead of the stinger, that would give you something that's probably electrically a half wave with a center load of the hamstick itself. I mean, there's all sorts of different combinations you can try, so I would not just assume it to be one configuration. I mean, you could treat it as a center loaded, you know, you could treat it as any number of things.
Well, I know what I'm doing this summer. Thank you very much for the advice. I wouldn't have thought of that.
I have improvised many an antenna in my life, so here we go, you know. Comes from not having much budget when I was younger. And now I have budget, well, a little bit more anyway, but I have a need for other creative solutions, so here we are. Anybody else want to chime in with a solution on this?
Whiskey 2 Juliet Charlie, no solution, but checking in, over.
Okay. W2JC, welcome aboard, Jim. All right. Anybody else? All righty. Very good. Walter, anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you guys very much.
All righty. Very good. That works just fine by me. anyway. Alrighty. Thank you for bringing up the topic. I think you've got me thinking about what I want to do next. Get myself a 9-to-1 Balun. That's all another question. I think I got a... Oh, actually, I have a 9-to-1 dipole Balun. So maybe I could use that. Well, maybe not. That's the wrong kind of Balun. Well, anyway. Film at 11, as they say. Alrighty. Let's see. We did Hector. We did you. Mike, KD2IRY. Your question, sir. KD2BAR.
KD2IRY. Yeah, I had a question on DMR. Programming a CS750, and I'm just having a couple of problems. Anybody know of a good website for it for New York, New Jersey DMR repeaters and talk groups?
Kai and Marco are not here, and not, boy, they'd be the two to ask. I honestly don't know. Is this a you're on UHF, right?
Yes, I'm trying to use the Orangeburg, Bronx, White Plains sites.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. Is it available on the web?
I've been to several different sites, and everybody says something different. That's why I was trying to check with any of the guys that have been doing it for a while and have the correct information.
Yeah, amazingly enough, they're not here, which really kind of makes it a little crazy, but what do you do? Unfortunately, we don't have a good answer for you. I wish I did. Comment, go.
WA2QBC also checking in, Gordon. Have you checked repeaterbook.com?
Yes, I have. I've also checked Omoto Turbo New York, New Jersey site and several others. And I'm just trying to confirm talk groups and color codes and some other information because different sites have different things, so I want to make sure everything's perfect.
Now, I'm not on DMR, so I don't have much else to offer, but repeaterbook.com certainly will list the repeaters you're interested in.
Yes, they do, but when you go in, they have a list of talk groups and numbers related to the talk groups, which different sites have different time slots and all that information for DMR, and some are different than others, so I'm trying to want to get the right one before I start keying up on DMR.
I would think the individual repeaters, assuming they have their own websites, would have the exact data you're looking for.
Well, I'll try looking up until somebody else comes, and I'm going to go to the Yahoo groups. I'll put it out there as well.
QRZ might have contact information, and you could also just Google on the call sign, and that might be a way of locating the website.
Thank you. I'll try that.
Okay, anybody else? Okay. Very, very good. All right, well, I'm sorry I couldn't be more helpful tonight, Mike. That's a bit of a disappointment, but, you know, summer being summer, people sometimes aren't around. Anyway, let's see. Any other topics people want to bring up before I start in? I'm going to talk a little about solar power on my trailer and some experiences I had with it this week. Alrighty. Well, let's see. We had a great trip. First of all, for those who are not familiar with it, I have Noel's former Harbor Freight trailer. It's a 4x8 bed trailer that he made up like a little red wagon with little stake sides and looks really pretty and still is really pretty. I have since added, courtesy of the welding experience of N3UXK, some galvanized fence post, inch and 7/8 fence post, four vertical risers that are welded in the corners where there's metal, and braced it all with speed rail clamps to make like a cage. We've added an 8-foot utility box on one side, on the curb side, and currently two large storage tubs that can easily be removed from the deck. Also underneath the long utility box, the diamond plate aluminum utility box, I put in a 10-inch piece of PVC that I had painted up and built an end cap for it and a hatch door for the front. And it's a little over 4 feet, and I use it to store military poles, both the aluminum ones and also the plastic ones, you know, the fiberglass ones. Providing a de facto roof, however, is a pair of 220-watt each solar panels. They're residential 60-cell solar panels, and they're in the 30-odd to 40-odd volt category, so they're not easily regulated. And I bought an inexpensive regulator, mounted it in a stainless container. It's environmentally controlled, and it charges a 155 ampere hour battery that's also mounted on the trailer. Works great. I got to tell you, it works great. We were able to provide all sorts of power for all sorts of things while in Florida. I have not lit up the trailer yet, other than what's required for road purposes, but the solar panels, the way they're mounted, actually provide a solid, non-leaky roof. And the way that was done was I pre-painted 2x4s in the matching red, and give a couple of coats, and once they dried, I U-bolted them to the metal frame about 5.5 feet above the deck, and that's because I didn't really want to go higher, but that's a whole other question. They could be elevated if I really wanted to, but anyway, got that, and then bolted the solar panels to the three 2x4s, the one on each edge and the common one. And I can tell you that it is absolutely waterproof through that center seam. So that was kind of cool. So what's nice also is I took the cables and tucked them, everything underneath the solar panels, so nothing's exposed to direct downward rain and nasty aspects of the elements. So it's all good. And all the interconnections for the solar panel controller are inside of, as I said, a stainless steel NEMA 3R box. So it's really nice. I got that from a friend who was getting rid of it. So the bottom line is that 440 watts of solar power is way, way more than you need to keep a 155 ampere hour battery happy. So, the next thing will be, do I get a pair or a foursome of the 6-volt Trojan 106, I think they're called, batteries, put them in series parallel and away I go. Now they're square, and they would be a little heavier than what I have, but not by a whole lot, maybe another 100 pounds. But what I have now is a very nice battery that's about 150, 160 pounds, but it's only 150 ampere hour. So I'm looking for some suggestions as to what to do, because, yeah, I like having the extra solar capacity, but it's way more solar than I have battery for. And I'm thinking about reconfiguring it accordingly. Do I use more of these deep cycle, you know, cell site battery backup batteries that are 150 ampere hour or so, or do I go to the Trojan 106 6-volt batteries in series parallel, so, or something else? Anybody have any thoughts? Please call K2BAR. Oh, okay. I guess that's my question. And the other thing about it is I do have a mast that tilts over, but it sticks out a lot in order to have a fulcrum lever, you know, that, but, and so I can't leave it there, so I stick it in a socket, torque it down, and then tilt things up. So I'm not really satisfied with that. So I am looking for some solutions that would allow me to use a light gauge aluminum tower that I have that's really nice, along with the aforementioned winch that we talked about earlier. And I was thinking, how do I articulate two pieces of tower? They're not real heavy. They're aluminum, but they're sort of like, they're sort of built on the size and scale of RON 25, but they're aluminum. And I'm kind of curious how I would be able to, you know, essentially articulate the two sections of tower into some sort of junction that would allow me to pin them together. So it's basically hinge the two and then have it, what do you call it, have them lock in such a way. So has anyone ever built a, or can conceive of how we would take two trigonal tower sections, in this case aluminum tower sections, that are built sort of like a RON 25, but lighter, and, you know, allow them to hinge together and latch or be bolted or pinned or whatever. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Because that would allow me to then have quite the tilt-over tower deal, because I would be able to get the tower about 24 or 25 feet in the air without any problem. I can certainly do one tower section, but, you know, it would hang off. So what I was thinking is I would have the overhang of the shorter, of the bottom section basically be forward between the tow vehicle and the trailer, so therefore it doesn't hang back, and therefore I would basically just tilt it and it would bolt to the front edge of the trailer. But I need a way to get that second section in there to really make it tall enough to make it, you know, really nice. So I'm looking for solutions to that. So I've got the tilt part figured out. I don't have the articulation of the two tower sections figured out. Any thoughts from anybody, please call K2BAR. Well, I guess I don't get my question answered tonight. Anybody else have any topics? K2B Air. Station go.
Gordon, WA2QBC again. What's the tallest you've gone with those 5 foot sections of surplus military aluminum or fiberglass mat?
With guys, I've gone 40 feet.
Interesting. And how did you raise them up? Did you insert them from the bottom or the mechanism there?
Yes. Well, okay. So yes and no. I've done two different things. At home, I used to have, I don't know if I still have it there, but on a, screwed onto one of the 4x4s that's holding up the pergola in my deck, I took a piece of wider decking and some what I call pie flanges, you know, basically pipe to post kind of flanges, and I put a piece of PVC on it up in the air about maybe 5 feet, and all I do is basically shove the military posts. As long as they don't have big fat collars, they slide up through the PVC. So I've got like a 3 foot, 4 foot piece of PVC as a launching sleeve, if you will. So what I'll do is I'll put three sections in, or two sections in, put my antennas on the top section, and I'll start pushing up more underneath. What I've done along that line is also then guided. So I've done it that way. And that's how I got to 40 feet most easily. If you have a way, let's say 8 feet in the air or 6 feet in the air, to have a launching tube, like I talked about, that's huge. That's really, you know, it takes a lot of stress out. It's not easy to take it down, by the way, because as you're lowering the stuff down, you kind of got to, it's kind of a two-person operation because you need one person, you need to push up on the whole thing, you need to secure it for a moment, and then someone needs to do that, and then someone needs to weasel the post out from underneath by twisting and pulling. So going up is easier than coming down, but it does work. The other way to do it is people have put them up, taken 40 feet of this stuff, and literally with guy wires walked it up, and or guy ropes, I should say, walked it up. And but boy, that is a scary thing. But you see them in the military pictures. That's exactly what they did.
George, do you pin the sections together once you insert them?
Generally, no. Was there another station?
K9 GTM.
K9 GTM, go ahead. How are you, Sean?
Not too bad. One other thing you can do, I heard you talking about antenna masses. I bought a whole kit with aluminum poles. They're about 4 foot poles. It goes up to 30 feet in a kit, but you can add to it more. It has a tripod type of thing in its handle. You know, you slide one up the middle pole and it just slides right up, and it's real easy to put down, take down and put up by one person, and you can put guide wires on there. It's on, I believe it's govertical.com or govverticalus.com. You can just Google it, and they have it on there.
I actually have one of those, and I was going to mention that. That works very well, but whatever goes in the center must be the aluminum poles. If you're using one set of, whatever you're passing through that center must be aluminum, because the fiberglass ones won't fit, at least not mine.
Yeah, the poles that they actually use are for camo netting. They used to be made out of aluminum, and now I think they believe they make them out of fiberglass now. It's a little lighter, but I actually have two sets. I ordered one, and they sent me the rigid poles instead of the smooth poles, so I had to knock the rings off. But since they sent me the wrong ones, they told me to keep them because it's just too much money to ship back. So I actually just bought another tripod, so I have two setups.
Oh, sweet. See, I only have one of those, and mine is in bright orange. Now, I've set it up two ways. I've set it up with one set of poles as the tripod legs. I've also set it up with two sets of poles as tripod legs. So the tripod's like, you know, 8 feet in the air at that fixture point, and that can be quite entertaining to get up. It is another stable way of doing it, and my guess is you could use that in lieu of a launching tube. The trick is, when you're pushing up, you're going to need something to hold down the legs, and that's something I never bothered to master. I mean, if I had to do it by myself, I would take a military 10 stake, you know, those 8-inch, 10-inch aluminum stakes. I would bang them in the ground, and I would lash it to the bottom of the pole just to make it easy. Conceivably, you could also take one of those and loosely attach it with a stainless steel bolt through the stake and also to the pole, and you know, let it swing. So pound it in the ground, and it'll keep it from rising up. It might rattle a little bit, but it'll keep it from rising up, off the ground while you're, doing a solo install. And generally speaking, pounding something 8 inches in the ground is not going to cause too many fits by, park officials.
And I just want to mention one more. There's also another one the first one I bought was on militarypoles.com. They made up their own version of the tripod, but they welded a ring on top of the tripod that you can actually take, like, those straps that have hooks on them and hook them to the bottom of the poles and tighten it up, and as you go up, the poles won't pop out.
So this is for where the poles on the tripod legs, you mean?
Yeah, you know how sometimes, like, when you lift it up, it lifts up the tripod and then it sometimes the one leg will wiggle out. But what they did was they put a ring on there that you can hook a strap or a rope or anything. You put it to the bottom of the leg and you tighten it up, and it keeps that leg inside the tube. So if you shift the tripod as you're putting in the center masses, it doesn't pop out.
Yeah, it sounds good. That sounds very good. Yeah, I mean, whatever floats your boat. I have several sets of aluminum poles. I mean, many sets and a fewer set of the fiberglass. And by the way, let me just talk about that real briefly. It's useful to have some fiberglass poles, even if your whole set is aluminum, because sometimes you want a non-conductive support. For safety, for sometimes for just convenience of attaching with a wire antenna to, or some other kind of antenna that, you know, you don't want to have something interfere with your pattern. I have, for instance, one fiberglass pole that has one of those flange mounts for like a mobile antenna that you're converting to stationary use. So you basically use some hose clamps or U-bolts, and in my case, hose clamps, to strap it to the pole, and it's got, in my case, a NMO mount with an SO239 at the bottom. So what I do is I actually have an antenna that I keep, a mobile antenna, a very large one, dual band or tri-band, I forget, but anyway, it's got an NMO mount, and I screw that on top of this fixture, and now I've got it. Oh, by the way, the radials are attached at the base of this thing, and I basically use a piece of Velcro strap that's attached to one of the radials to hold all radials against the masting. So when I'm done, I unscrew the antenna from the top and put the two in parallel, fold the radials down, and slide it into storage, and it's away we go. So that's how I have a quick 2-meter 220-440 fixed site antenna for use. It works great. And you can carry it in a normal automobile. Anybody else?
Okay, 2JC, intro.
Go ahead.
That first website that he wasn't sure of is goverticalsusa.com, or...
Go Verticals, plural, USA.com.
Vertical is single.
Okay, I thought I heard a plural. Go Vertical, USA.com.
Correct.
Very good. Anybody else?
Kilo Delta 2, India Romeo Yankee.
Go ahead, Mike.
Still looking at options for the two parts of the tower?
Oh, sure.
Just an idea. They're both the same length?
They are.
So why couldn't you take a large hinge with a couple of U-type bolts and connect it to the flat side of the triangular tower? So rotate up and down, you can fold it over itself.
Well, yeah, that's right. And what I was concerned about is the strength of the hinge versus, I mean, normally these two tower sections, one slid into the other and bolted, right? You know, they're one end swaged, the other end is reinforced, and, you know, one slides inside the next and you put a pin through it. So lacking that, I said, well, gee, what are my hinge options here? And I'm just not seeing some good options. But, you know, I've already figured a way to deal with the fact it's triangular. There's a couple of different ways. One is let the flat side of the one section be flat against the pivot point, and then they would ride point to point, meaning pointy side to pointy side, and then you would basically unfold it and latch it to do that, that requires a strong hinge at that junction point, right? So building that was a bit of a challenge. The other approach I had was, again, still had that, but instead of having the point-to-point, have them rest flat-to-flat and just build a pivot cage at the pivot point that would essentially square that up. That wouldn't be a problem to do either. That would, you know, basically the pivot point would be a reinforced point anyway, so I could have the triangular spot essentially pointing into the pivot because it would be caged out with a bracket to handle the pivot. So that's easy. But the junction of the two sections in either solution still requires a latching hinge that allows the two sections to articulate, and now one is extension of the other to become collinear to the first. That's a tricky business. And I don't know. Yes, I could build such a hinge. I'm not so sure I know how.
Yeah,
yeah.
Light bulb popped. I don't know how practical it is, but the light bulb says there are hinges in Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever for use on fence gates, for instance, and flanges of the hinge are a triangle of like 8 to 12 inches, some of them. The thought was to put that alongside the round tube and use U-bolts into the flange of the hinge on both pieces. Then you would just have to figure out how to get the top section pulled up vertical, and you could figure some way to latch it. Or?
Okay, so the answer to your last question is you'd flip it and make it collinear while still in the horizontal position. So, yes, it would be very entertaining to do, but the towers are very light. The tower sections are very light, so, you know, a stepladder, just reach up, flip it over, and make it horizontal or collinear to each other, and then just pin it, insert your antennas, and then winch the whole thing up, and away you go. So that could be done. So yeah, I like that idea. So you're saying use two really big, like, gate hinges, and then have some sort of locking mechanism on the other side for the third leg to essentially join the two together and reinforce that third leg. Yeah, that probably would work just fine. Anybody else have any ideas? And thank you, Jim. Alrighty. Anybody else? Alright. Anybody else about the tripods since we got into that? Well, let me just talk about one other thing. I have a lighter gauge tripod that, you know, I think it's meant for a light pole or something, or a light stand or something like that. It's very light. It's all aluminum. It has three legs and has a center that comes up. And more than once, I have used that as a way to impale maybe four or five of the aluminum or fiberglass poles, and used it to either hold up something really light or used it to hold up the end of a dipole. And in one case, I tried it with an infed as well, but, you know, it was one way when I had a tree only on one side. It gave me a way to get it up in the air, and it was kind of nice, actually. It was a good light duty or in my case, auxiliary support just to keep people from running into the wire. One thing I will point out is when you do deploy tripods with legs and things like that, you need to put cones around it and maybe some safety tape, you know. So a caution tape from Home Depot is a good choice. In the modern world, I would get bilingual caution tape. That's just me. And survey tape, while it's my preference, is not caution tape. And so in this litigious society, I would carry caution tape as a primary, but I actually prefer the more environmentally friendly survey tape. All right, anybody else?
Into NBR.
Into NBR. Go ahead, John.
When you use the tripods, meaning they go out horizontally and there's a big stick in the middle and it usually collapses within itself telescopically. That's what you're talking about, right?
Okay, we were talking about a couple of different things. The original question was from Walter. What kind of antenna could he use for portable operation that would be a little less cumbersome in the park than, let's say, an OCF dipole or an end-fed half-wave? And so we started talking about loading up ham sticks on either the far end in lieu of the stinger or actually on both ends. You know, basically running a wire up to a ham stick that's been elevated on a non-conductive surface and then, or pole system, and then run a horizontal stinger out the other way with a piece of wire, maybe 20 feet or so, just to make it a little more compact, you know?
Yeah, well, what I was thinking of, if you're using, a vertical device attached to a tripod, meaning the three legs horizontally deployed or about that horizontally, possibly at a 45 degree angle, and then of course a mast in the middle. What probably is a good idea when you said litigious society earlier, right? I thought of something that I used to do when we had to work on motion pictures. We always put a sandbag on each leg, preferably around 50 pounds, so that no matter which way the wind came or somebody tripping over it, the antenna is not going to land on somebody's head, hopefully. And that way, you have wind resistance, and also you have a slight advantage, at least, to an antenna that's end-fed. You're better off, center-fed, but end-fed is a possibility, I guess. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the, if you have the Ballon, then why not, right? You might as well do that. Alrighty. Anybody else have any thoughts?
N2SCL disconnected.
Didn't know N2SCL was there. Alrighty. Anybody else have anything for the net this time? All right, well, I want to thank everybody for their contributions. I think I'm going to, I do carry that tripod fixture with my trailer, but I think I'm going to mount a launching tube, like I mentioned, at one point on the trailer as well. I might even do something even a little more basic, and that is to simply mount a couple of the military poles permanently on the trailer in pivot mode, so I have a light duty quick install for something short, and I could do that on either end of the trailer without too much trouble. So I think I've got that in my head. One thing I will say is that it comes to rest on the opposite end of the frame of the trailer, the elevated frame, and this is above the solar panel, so the solar panels are 5.5 feet in the air, but the antennas and towers and all that stuff, two horizontals that hold that, are steel, and they are held together with speed rail clamps, and they are the padding for that is the foam that you'll see to use as insulation on pipes, and I just went down to the Lowe's and bought some, and secured it with some hose clamps just to keep it in place, but it adds a nice UV resistant bumper pad so that when your steel or aluminum are bouncing together or rubbing together, you don't have any of that unnecessary friction or wear or rusting, because the insulation from the pipe insulation keeps that from that friction and that wear from happening. Really works well.